message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Father, we thank you for your word, its spirit and its life. Father, like the prophet Jeremiah, we have found your word, we've eaten it, and it has been sweet in our stomachs like honey. And Lord, sometimes it burns like fire in our bones. I ask, O God, that the entrance of your word will bring light and it will bring understanding to all of us. God, that when we leave church today, we will be a better people in the name of Jesus. We will learn more and we will be more and we will do more. Lord, I pray for everybody who came to church today, wherever they are, God, that you meet them at the point of their need. Solve their problems for them, Lord. We don't have any other God. You are our only God. And so we trust you to help us and solve our problems. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 38. And then I'll also read from Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. Luke chapter 10 verse 38. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Look at me. Every time you sit at the feet of Jesus, every time you sit reading your Bible and having your devotion, you have chosen the best part, and it is not going to be taken away from you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. If you're a visitor to our church, we bring our Bibles to church. We don't look at telephones and computers because they are distracting. They are like Martha. So we look into the Bible directly. Verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Hallelujah. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. That should be a revelation for somebody right now who is weak with sickness and all. You can take that scripture and chew it. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord. So still on the theme, loving God on purpose, and I added by waiting on him, by walking with him, and by choosing him. This today, I just want to talk about these three elements that I joined to the theme, which is waiting on God, walking with him, and choosing him daily. So I want you to repeat after me, waiting on him, walking with him, and choosing him daily. So we spent the last 5 weeks looking at how to love God on purpose. We saw that loving God is the first and great commandment. The greatest commandment is to love God. In fact, we saw in Deuteronomy that loving God is the commandment. Did you see that? Do you remember that day we read in Deuteronomy where it kept saying the commandment is to love God? The commandment is to love God. The commandment is to love God. So it is important to God that we love him. It is important to God that we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and strength. It is important that we love him alone. He is a jealous God. And what I like about God is that he was not bashful to say that. He came up, boom, and said, I am jealous. In other words, I can't handle you loving me and loving something else. I can't handle you loving me and loving another human being. If you remember the scripture we read, he said, he who loves father or mother more than me. What did he say? Is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So God wants to be the object of our love. He wants to be the center of our love and affection and attraction. He wants us to be passionate about loving him. And we looked at 16 different things that if we did on purpose, it will show we love God. So today I'm looking at loving God by waiting on him. So let me start today by asking you a question. How many of you know you are supposed to wait on the Lord? Let me see your hand. You know what it means to wait on the Lord? Fantastic. Now, how many of you wait on the Lord every day, including Sundays? Let me see your hand. Okay, the hands have dropped by like 60%, up to 70%. So it's one thing to know, and it's another thing to do. How many of you wait on the Lord 3 times a day? Nobody. And you know what? We say, I am a friend of God. I will dance like David danced. I want to be a woman after God. We sing, when we begin to sing, the other day the choir was singing that even if it is through the desert, they will follow. If it is through the mountains, they will follow. And we could not confidently raise our hands as we're waiting on the Lord every day. Talk less of 3 times a day. So let me show you why David was after God's heart. Go to Psalm 55 verse 17. Put it up there. Psalm 55 verse 17. It says, evening and morning and at noon. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So in the Bible, evening and morning is day, is the first day. Evening and morning, second day. Evening. So in God's, in Bible times and Bible way, you should have a very good devotion in the evening because that's the beginning of the day. Evening and morning was the first day. So David prayed in the evening, cried aloud in the evening, cried aloud in the morning, and in the afternoon he cried aloud. He prayed 3 times every day. Maybe that's where the Muslims got the idea of praying 5 times a day. Christians, we pray one time a day. And I'll tell you why it's 1 times. Because we pray for 15 minutes. So that makes it 1 times. Because it's 15 times, 15 minutes. Somehow we have grace, we have salvation, but we are the poorest in really showing God affection. He said 3 times. Do you also remember Daniel? When they said he should bow, he should worship, he should bow before the idol that they had raised. What did the Bible say? That 3 times every day, what did Daniel do? He opened the window, faced Jerusalem, and prayed 3 times. Is it any wonder that they were so close to God? Is it any wonder why Daniel became prime minister across how many governors? 3 or 7? 3, 4? I don't remember the exact number. But it's that kind of commitment, that kind of dedication. It's the kind of thing we saw with Jesus in the Bible, where multitudes will be following him, we leave them and go somewhere and just hang out with God. It has to take that to have a certain level of anointing and relationship with God, that you will spend extra time. And where we are headed in the world, the evil is so much that is going to take us making a radical decision to do 3 times of what we have been doing. I mean, you look at America, you look at Europe, you look at China, everywhere is upside down. Chinese want to rule the world by force. So you have to we have to just run to God and find a way to hang out with him all the time. It's a defense. It's a defense, it's a measure to safeguard yourself against the world, is to run to him. So David, 3 times a day, in the evening, morning, and noon, he prayed. I pray that this year we will start doing that. That even if it is just for 5 minutes every day, in the evening you kneel down and pray. Every evening now, I'm so used to I just put Pastor Yakubu. He becomes a background prayer person for me, and I'm praying with him for 1 hour. And when you finish, you feel charged. Then I finish, I put my music. Sometimes I sing with the music, sometimes I dance with it. And then, so that is the close of that day or the beginning of the day. And then in the morning too, I do my devotions and I play somebody and I pray. And then in the afternoon now, I'm trying to, because you have to apply a certain level of pressure in order to wade off the things that are coming up on the world, you know. Psalm 119 verse 164. We are looking at David. 7 times a day. Let's read it together. What did you see? Seven times a day, he will do what? He will praise God. Do you praise God 3 times a day? Can you see why these people, why God decided to make the house of David to be king forever? So that even in the world to come, David is a major actor. With this level of commitment, God cannot do without him. 7 times a day. That means that the 30 minutes or 1 hour devotion a day is no longer enough. It's no longer enough. We are going to have to do more. I don't know about you, but I'm determined to fill my mind, my time, my everything with the worship of God and praying and fasting and all. And to tell you the truth, it's not easy. Oh my God, this fasting, day before yesterday, my body was like it was going to catch fire because I wasn't drinking water. So my body was hot. I said, now 3 months will they go. We never reach 40. How far will we do this thing? But you see, I'm going to have to kill this flesh so that I can get something I never had. Even if it's just the deposit of that experience that I have fasted like Daddy Gio. You know Daddy Gio's own is 120 days. That's 4 months, isn't it? No, but let me just start from the 91st and progress, you know. But that is why he's still fruitful at age 70-something. 7 times a day, I praise you. No wonder he was a man after God's heart. You see, when you love somebody, you talk with them all the time. You call them. They call you. You talk and talk and talk. Husbands and wives that have good relationships, they are always talking with one another. They are texting each other ceaselessly. Now, if you have a relationship with your husband and wife and you text once a month, you know, I was speaking to somebody this week, and the person said to me that if he knew that when he was going to marry his wife, that the vows he was taking were vows of celibacy, he wouldn't have done it. You didn't get the joke. Okay, so when you get home, you will understand. The point being that if you are close with somebody, you relate at an intimate level. In fact, sometimes you have a ringtone for them, so that you don't miss their call, or so that their calls never become missed calls in your telephone because you love them. I don't know about it. Pastor Wilson was yapping me that he doesn't know my kind of love, but my kind of love is the genuine one. It's the genuine one. He said he doesn't know the love that I talk about sneaking and calling somebody. But truly, when you really love people, we can be in church now, and some of you are in love. You are just here, oh, your spirit is where it is. True or false? You are looking at me. In fact, you are even trying to laugh. But even the laughter to you is a distraction because it is distracting where your mind really is. That is how we are supposed to love God. God is supposed to be on our minds all the time. So when you are in love with that person like that, God is jealous in it. Truly. Especially when after you finish, you go and give him 15 minutes a day. And then you come and throw 1,000 naira in offering. And you say you love God. Because that same 1,000 naira you threw in, somebody who has less than you threw in 50,000. So I'm just helping us to just push this year and do a little better. That if you love somebody, you will talk with them all the time. And God wants us to talk with him, to talk to him and talk with him. David wrote so many psalms, so many hymns. He just did poetry. And that is why I was listening to a tape today, and somebody said they believe that it was in the desert, one of the times David was singing to God, that God told him how to kill Goliath. Or else how did it occur to him to get 5 stones, smooth stones, and use them on Goliath? God must have told him. Because when you relate with God like that, he tells you things more than he will tell other people. Because when you pay attention to people, they tell you more than somebody that doesn't even know them. So David spent time with God and he became God's friend. What does it mean to wait? It means to stand by, waiting to do something. To stand by, waiting to do something or waiting for something to happen. That is what it means to wait. Waiting for something to happen. It could be waiting for an instruction from God, direction, an assignment. It could be waiting for an answer to a need. Or you could just wait in the presence of God to be filled. Or you could just wait in the presence of God just to love him, just to sing to him. Once in a while, I just sit with God and say, I just want to hang out with you. What are you doing right now? Where are you? What are you? Who are you helping? What's going on? I just do that. And I can actually feel like he's answering me and very happy that somebody cared to ask. Once in a while, I say, God, how are you? Well done. Not that one I say pretty often. Well done. Almost every night, I say, well done. Well done for all the work you did today. We must have that kind of talking relationship with him. So it could be waiting to be filled with the power, waiting for a breakthrough, or waiting to just be strengthened. And what is waiting? It is to sit in your private space and just wait for him until he shows up or does something. To sit in your private place until he shows up or does something. And in Hebrew, waiting means to sit down and be quiet. Just sit down. You say, Pastor, how can I sit down before God? I will sleep. Yes, sleep in his presence is okay. He's not scared of your sleeping. But make it that, God, I'm in your presence. I came to worship you. I came to bless you. I just came to hang out with you. I came to hear if there's anything you want me to do. See, that is the kind of relationship we are pursuing this year. To love God on purpose. To go and sit in his presence on purpose. To just go and hang out with him on purpose. To just sing to him on purpose. To play a tape and dance before him on purpose. Not because we feel like it, but because it gives him joy. And it honors him. And it glorifies him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to hear better amen. Amen. I know that this is not the kind of preaching you want to hear. You want me to also be shouting and jumping, but no, this preaching must be preached. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40, where we read verse 28, it says, they that wait on the Lord, they who sit down and are quiet before the Lord, shall renew their strength. How many of you feel weak sometimes? How many of you feel tired sometimes? Just tired. Sometimes it's not even physical tiredness. It's just tired of life. Do you know when you shut in yourself with God, like for a day or even for hours, you come out, you feel different. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You have no need to be weak. You have no need to be overwhelmed because there is a God waiting for us to help us. And that was why the songwriter said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. So if we sit with God, we will, I'm telling the truth, if you sit with God every day, you will not be a miserable person. You will not be a confused person. You will not be a troubled person. If you are with God, singing to him and meditating before him and loving him and doing, you will be a happy person. David played the harp all the time and he was rejoicing. David just into that camp that day to see his brothers. He was carefree and all because he had a relationship with God. His spirit was loaded. And so he said, what's going on? He said, who is that bastard that is abusing our God? He said, I want to go and fight him. That is what happens when you are in his presence. You become powerful. You feel strong like a lion. You become bold. The Bible says, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. And so we do not know great and mighty things because we are not calling on him like David. Three times every day and singing seven times a day. Dole ejika. He must hear you. He must hear you. Amen. He must hear you. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This year, I refuse to be weak. I refuse to be tired. I refuse to come to church and just every day. No, I'm going to stay in his presence. I'm going to do physical exercise. But then I'll stay in his presence. I will dance in his presence. I will sing in his presence. I will pray to him. I will pray walking in my room and all. I will do what I need to do so that I'll be strong. Because the Bible says even at old age, I'm supposed to be reproducing stuff. In other words, there's no old age that makes you useless. No, them that the Jew are not thinking of retiring. What's my stress? Between me and Daddy Gio, there's about 20 years or so. And he's still preaching. He preaches more than me. So what is my problem? Laziness. So this year, I refuse to be tired. Every day, you are tired. No, stay in the presence of God. The Bible says, and he will renew your strength. Clap unto the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. So according to Pastor Tony Evans, he says to wait on the Lord means to not go outside of the Lord to resolve your issues, but to wait on the intervention of God. He says to wait on the Lord means to not go outside of the Lord to resolve your issues, but to wait on the intervention of God. Just like the farmer waits on the rain and the patient waits for the doctor. To wait on the Lord is not to go outside the Lord to resolve your issues. God wants to take care of you. God wants to solve your problems. And he doesn't want you to go and look for help anywhere. You remember in the Old Testament, God was angry with people. He said, is it that there is no God in Israel that you are going somewhere? Is it that I cannot help you that you are going to look for help somewhere? Is it that my hands are too short that you think you have to help yourself? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if we do not have rest, it's because we are not going. It's because we are not giving. He's there waiting. The last time you called on God, he answered. He's been waiting for the next call. But you are all over the world looking for solution when what you are looking in Sokoto is in his presence. Thank you, brother. God bless you for that. Hallelujah. That one, hallelujah. Thank you. Say more of it. What does the farmer do before the rain comes? What does he do? He waits. If the rain doesn't come, what will he do? Are you hearing yourselves? If the rain doesn't fall, what does the farmer do? When you go before the doctor or into the doctor's office, what do you do? Are you sure? Don't you go in there and diagnose yourself and prescribe medicine for yourself and do surgery for yourself and come out? What do you do? That's how we are supposed to do with God. That if he does not help us, if he does not answer us, we do what? If you go to the book of James chapter 5, you'll see it. He said we ought to be patient, just like the farmer waits for the first and the second rain. In our day and age, if the rain doesn't come, we will dig borehole because we can't wait for God. And if doctor doesn't come, we open internet and we treat ourselves. Little problem, wonder why we are so sick. But as children of God, just like we go to the doctor's office and sit and wait, we must wait on God. Did you hear that? This year. And you know, when you wait on God, it means you honor him. You honor him. There was a king that got into trouble in the Bible. In fact, it cost him his throne because he couldn't wait. He said, when I saw the people doing this, going against me and scattering, I got pressured and I did the sacrifice. And as he finished the sacrifice, Samuel showed up. Bible says, the kingdom has been taken from you because you won't wait. How many of us have things been taken away from us because of impatience? We are always thinking all the time, 24 hours, of how to solve our problems. And the Bible says it is not in man to solve his problem. It says it is not within a man. You are not created to solve your problems. God created us and put a lack of problem-solving ability in us so that we can depend on him. I'm preaching better than you're clapping. You better clap better so I preach better. Thank you. So we wait on him. I want that to sink in you, that you wait for God like the farmer waits for the rain. And you wait for God like we wait for the dentist and the doctor. Because if they don't come, you have to wait. Especially National Hospital. The thing is paying you today. They say the next appointment they have is next year. And if you don't have the money, what will you do? You will wait now. Just be drinking everything. Be drinking agbo until God has mercy on you. Or you have to know somebody, a doctor who can go and help you jump the queue. Don't we jump so many God's queues in this world and we enter into trouble too? Okay, let me go on. What is waiting on the Lord? It is to seek God first and to hear from God on any issue before you speak to any human being. It is not to do anything unless you check with God first. If you seek God first, then you will not need to fret, be anxious or panic, and you will not need to be agitated or be in a hurry. The Bible says those who believe do not need to make haste. And so to seek God is that, to wait on God is to tell God about everything. Before you wear an outfit, you ask God, Father, should I wear this outfit today? Because I remember that story Pastor Wilson told. Do you remember that story of wearing a suit? And the Holy Spirit said to him, this is what you are going to wear to the American embassy when you go for your interview. And it didn't make sense to him. But on that day, he went there, and it happened that the guy whose window he went to had been in church on that Sunday he preached, and saw him with that suit. He said, oh, I remember you. Why? From the outfit. You say, even from with mundane things as clothes, yes. And because of that, he said, no, I know you. You are the pastor in that church, blah, blah, blah. He gave him the visa because he followed an instruction. There are so many instructions waiting this year for you to collect so that your life will be easy, so that you'll be blessed. So I was coming to church today, and I wore a pair of shoes. I loved it. It was more comfortable than this one. But after I wore it, the Holy Spirit said, remove that shoe. Because if you don't remove that shoe, there is somebody in this church that will not hear your preaching today because of that shoe. Because I've worn it before, and the person said, Pastor, what can you wear come church today? And yet it is very comfortable. And so even if it was just for that one person, I obeyed. And I removed the shoe because I don't want to be in the way of the message. I want you to know that even to the shoe you are supposed to wear, you are supposed to ask God, should I wear it? Because you can wear one Chinese shoe, and then you'll be inside the hall in a very important meeting with all your things, all your Chinese trappings, and then you lift up your leg, the heel leaves you behind. I'm not telling stories. It has happened. All of a sudden, you just feel like when you put the leg, you were sinking. You turn and you see the heel there. Only because God told you and you didn't hear. And it was Chinese Louboutins, red heel, lying behind you. You had moved and then you just did like this. Jesus. Oh, what needless pain we bear. What needless pain we bear. What needless pain we go through. Only because we won't seek God. If we seek God, we will prosper. If we seek God, things will go well with us. If we seek God, we will have 100% success. And you know what? It will build our love relationship with God. I used to have a husband who's complained about me every, honey, why don't you let me help you? I'll climb the top and be pulling down boxes and putting it on my head. My husband will say, honey, so what am I useful for? Sounds like God, isn't it? That we are there looking for help, entering everywhere, morning prayer, night prayer, afternoon, praying naked. And then God said, I don't send you people. Just come. Simply just come and, can you just come and tell me what the problem is? What is wrong? What is disturbing you this hot that you are undressed? Come. Let's talk about. Can you imagine just seeing your child come to your room naked? He's praying. You say, what happened? He said, I'm praying, mommy. I need for God to. You're like. Is that not what we do to God? He says, some prayers you have to pray naked the way you were born. Which scripture did you read? Oh, Jesus. Nigerian Christians. If it is not bitter, if we do not suffer, if it does not dry us, it is not God. We will be fasting like this, we will be dry. Our mouth will be smelling, because if we touch water or chewing gum in our mouth, the fast has broken. How hard is our God? He said, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest. Come to me and you will find rest. Come to me and you will find rest. This year, I want to find rest in his presence. Oh, Jesus. I want to find rest in his presence. We suffer too much, and yet help is available. My husband said, honey, let me just help you now. Just tell me. Every day, honey, tell me. You will say, honey, what is worrying you? Tell me. Don't be sad. I'm here to help. That's why I'm your husband. I remember in those days, now I'm going off, but it will make a point. I'll come to church and I'll do something. I'm a very spontaneous person. Very creative. If you leave me, you'll be shocked at what I think of. So I'll sit down and I'll come to the front and I'll say something. And sometimes it'll rattle the church. And then we'll go home. One day my husband said to me, honey, I want to help you. Sit down. He said, I am the pastor of the church. You are my wife. Say anything you want to say, use my name. He said, use my name. He said, if you use my name, they will answer you. He said, because everything you're saying is right, but the way you say it. He said, honey, and if you want to give somebody something, ask me. I will give you more. So instead of giving somebody 10,000, pastor will say, give them 50. What needless pain we bear? What needless pain? What needless pain we bear? What burdens we carry? Only because we will not talk to God. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. May this year be a year of rest for us. May this year be a year of rest for us. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on you. Isaiah 26, verse 3. It is so important to wait on the Lord, just like a child must listen to his parents. How many of you know that if children don't listen to their parents, they will die before they get to age 10? In fact, they won't even reach age 2. You put the sand on the fire, you say, stop it, and he doesn't stop it. Next time. So a parent is there all the time to correct, so that the child will grow. And that is how God is, that he is there to help us grow. He is there to help us mature. He is there to just solve things for us and make life easy for us. So it's extremely important to listen to God. When you wait on God and listen to him, it shows that you trust him. And it takes trust, it takes faith, it takes patience, it takes courage, it takes strength and endurance to wait on God for his perfect will. And that is why a lot of people can't wait. They can't wait for God's perfect will. They will manage anything because God is taking too long. So you must make up your mind this year and be determined not to move or make a decision or a choice without until God says so. When you do that, when you wait until God says so, it means that you love him, that you honor him, that you have respect for him. But when you just stand up and do things, how many of you want to have your wife? She will go and buy a house, go and buy a field, go and buy a car, go and buy this, and doesn't ask you nothing. How many of you would like that kind of wife? It's like the husband is useless now. Or the husband just stands up and does everything. And there are some of you men like that. You hold the checkbook. You hold the key to the store in the house. You hold the key to the cars. Everything is in your name. What kind of man are you? You're a bush man. Like seriously bush. You don't even know anything. You're not even a civilized man. But let me check it, you are Christian. You're a bush man. Because God put that woman there to help you, to make you better. You are together to help each other. Okay, so why did I say that? I can't remember. Literally, I can't remember. Okay, it will really show that we love him when we allow him. You can't live with somebody and never listen to them or ask their opinion. When you consult God and wait on him, it shows that you trust him. A good sign that you trust God is your willingness to wait. Unwillingness to wait will get you into trouble. That is why you borrow money and it will lead to embarrassment and shame. Can I tell you something? There are some of you that were told by your parents or friends not to marry the person you're married to or somebody you divorced from, and you refuse. And every time you do that, anytime you disobey God, you will live in shame. And I'll show you from scripture next week. You will live in shame and embarrassment and uneasiness because you did not consult, you did not find somebody's opinion, God's opinion, and you refuse to hear good judgment. And so, if you are not willing to wait, you are going to get in trouble. When you go outside of the Lord to make it happen, apart from God, you delay God's intervention and you disobey him. And sometimes we think that if we don't get it now, we will never get it. But you don't know. God may be working something bigger and better. Look at Joseph. When Joseph told those two people to remember him, what would have happened if they remembered him? Maybe Joseph would have gotten out and he would have gone to another house to be boy or something somewhere. But God made them forget because he had a better plan. He was planning to make him prime minister, not a houseboy in another house again. Not a houseboy. So there are times you think that God is not doing the thing on time, or God does not know. You know better than God. And so you rush into these things that get us into trouble. But God knows you. He knows what you need, and he knows how that thing will affect you. He knows what will happen if you get it at the time you're looking for it. And that is why he delays it. Because he has something better for you. God has, if you have not gotten it, God has a better plan. Believe me when I say that. So if it looks like God is not giving you what you're asking for, it's because it's not good for you, or you don't need it, or it's not yet time. And many things may look like the will of God, but they are not. And God will not condescend so low, as low as to become a rubber stamp for your list of things. You don't tell God what to do, he tells you what to do. Like Auntie Reggie will say, I can banza nama na jankare. Okay, so what that means is that, hear me nonsense talk. Meat is dragging dog. Have you ever seen meat dragging dog? It's the dog that drags the meat now. So when you go out of your way to do your own things and leave God, you are dragging God. You want God to follow you. He will not. He will let you have your way, and you will have the pain that comes with it, although he will eventually deliver you. So because you don't have it now, does not mean that you will never have it. It may just be that it's not the time, or God is doing something better. Say a better amen. I'm almost done. So sometimes it may appear that God is not answering on time. He is never late. He has the perfect timing and he knows whatever you need. So when you go ahead and do your will, you delay God's intervention. Let me tell you something I learned this week as I was studying, so that you learn from it. Anytime you find yourself grumbling, complaining, and under tension, it means that you are elongating your time. You are causing more delay. Every delay. For instance, if you grumble today and complain today and get stressed today, and the thing was supposed to come next week, God will bump it up to 2 months later. You know why? Because him developing your character is important to him. He wants you to be a joyful person, a thankful person, a praising person. So you must leave complaining and grumbling alone this year, so that God does not keep moving your things. I'm tired. Is it somebody who just be coming to this worship team and just praising God, and little children that just joined yesterday, see them marrying, mia mia. You just move the thing 5 years forward. I see this Ashawo girl that just married. She has children. And me, I tithe, I give first fruit. I did. You just move your own barrenness another 10 years. If you read the Bible, you see where God said, I heard you complaining in your tents at night in the wilderness. So that grumbling, you think nobody is hearing God. Can you hide anything from God? So I've decided I'm not going to grumble. Because every time you grumble, you delay. Every complaint equal to delay. Every stress, hissing, even some dangerous prayers. God, I make a covenant with you in 3 months. God said, me, you are giving me 3 months. You will stay for 3 years. And let us see what will happen. I need to know between you and I, who is God? Because the day you started giving me, don't you do that with your children or with your wife? Oh, so you want to tell me what to do? Oh yeah, do it now. Say, God, I believe that in the next 6 months I will be married. So you are the person now setting the records. So there's a difference between faith and presumption. And that is why sometimes the Orthodox Church are better than Muslims. Sometimes what they do makes more sense. If the Lord wills, by the grace of God, God willing. Versus, I'm going to do this tomorrow, this year, I will do this, I will do that. So, because I learned this some years back, so when you finish, I'll say, God willing, I put it for you, because I know you are frail, you are dust. Where was I going? I'm almost done. My time is up, but this is second service. So let me just get to where God. So what I learned this morning is I'm not going to complain again. I'm not going to grumble. And so what I also learned is anytime you feel an urge to complain or grumble or murmur, it's a signal that you should go and worship God. Did you hear that? It's a signal that it's time to go and pray. It's a signal that it's time to go and dance. It's a signal. It means your spirit is calling you. At midnight, Paul and Silas, at midnight was when the wounds were, you know, wound, eh? It's at night, it's paining you. It becomes sour and angry. And everywhere it turned out. By night, if they beat you by night, you can't turn. Especially if they didn't massage the thing with hot water. So at midnight, when they were supposed to curse and hiss, the Bible says they got up and began to sing and began to dance and began to worship God. And the Bible says suddenly the prison doors were shaking. The gates, the foundation was shaking and the doors were open. So complain now. You know they help anybody? Tell your neighbor who complain help. Ask the other one, who grumbling help. You know, help anybody. That's what it means. Praise the Lord. If this is the only thing you learned today, I'm good. And on that note, I will stop. I have eaten more than an extra 5 minutes, so that's enough. I will stop. Praise the Lord. I will start from here next week. Stand up, let's go home. I'm trying to discipline myself to stay with time this year. Yes. Did you learn anything?
Yes.
If you didn't learn anything, don't grumble. Before they push your marriage to another 10 years. Holy Ghost fire. Pastor Wilson, come on, close. Holy Ghost fire. Did you hear what she said? I said if she complains, they will move her marriage 10 years. She said, Holy Ghost fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going higher, yes, higher. Today, I'm going higher, yes, higher. Going with Jesus to stay. I'm going above the shadows into the presence of God. Into the presence of Jesus. I'm today higher today. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.